We're in a message series from the New Testament book of 1 John, written by the Apostle John, who wrote five books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, and then three letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, also wrote the book of Revelation. And the theme of the series is Walking in the Light, and the title of today's message is A True or False Test. And I'm going to begin with a pop quiz, a true or false test. Let's see how you do. You ready? Here we go. True or false? Abraham Lincoln had no middle name. True. No middle name. Broccoli was once banned from the White House. True or false? That's right. George H.W. Bush in 1990. Pretty good move, actually. In the Star Wars franchise movies, the voice of Yoda is played by the same person who did the voices of Miss Piggy and Cookie Monster. True or false? That's true. Absolutely, it's true. Performed by a guy by the name of Frank Oz. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Yeah, there you go. All right, here you go. More information coming up. Queen Elizabeth, before becoming queen, her occupation, she was a mechanic. True or false? True. Absolutely true. A good skill to have when you're a queen as well, you know? All right, here you go. All of you game players, card players, all the kings in a standard deck of cards have a mustache. True or false? False. The king of hearts does not have a mustache. There you go. One more. Cows sleep standing up. True. That's right. I started to say, some of you are pretty good sleeping, you know, sitting upright, you know. That's you're pretty good at that, you know. You know, sometimes people say, hey, Ronnie, did you see? Oh, yeah, I see everything. I see everything. Sometimes it's hard to keep from laughing. It is. Sometimes I just want to say, hey, everybody, look here. okay, so here's sort of the thesis for the morning. Let me put it on the screen. Because deception is real, discernment is vital. Because deception is real, discernment is vital. Because life is not beige. There are things that are true and things that are false. Okay, here we go. We're in a short section of Scripture today, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it's interesting because if you step back, you get the context for it. Last week, we're in a section where John, the Apostle John, is speaking so much about love. Here's what love is. Christ is the model for love. Next week, we're in another longer section, again, about the reality of Christian love. We love one another in the Lord. But right here, he gives a little parenthesis to remind us that love is not gullible. That love does not mean that you approve of everything. Love does not mean that you have no discernment. Love doesn't mean that you don't have guardrails in your life. So he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is a message that's repeated throughout the New Testament. In other words, it's a call for Christians to be discerning, to be discriminating, if you will. Now, there's a kind of discrimination that's evil and wrong, racial discrimination, for example. But it is important to discriminate, to discern. I mean, for example, we don't let pedophiles teach kindergarten. Sorry, you know. If you've had too much to drink, they're not going to let you get behind the wheel of a car. And if you've been, you know, arrested for those violations, they're not going to put you behind the wheel of a school bus. Sorry, they're discriminating. They're discerning. If you have a round-trip plane ticket, but on the outbound leg, you choke one of the flight attendants and try to break down the cockpit door, sorry, they're going to discriminate. They're not going to let you use the second half of your round-trip ticket. We discern. We say, this is good, this is not good. This is right, this is wrong. This is healthy, this is unhealthy. And in the spiritual world, John says, you have to test because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe every talk show. Don't believe every philosophy. Don't believe every blog. You test it. Not everything spiritual, not everything that has a Christian label on it is from God. Don't be gullible. Don't trust it till you test it. So how do you do that? Well, he gives some counsel here. He says, verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. He says, you know, you can tell true from false by what they say, what they believe about Jesus Christ. And here, John specifically is dealing with some folks who denied the humanity of Jesus, that he came in the flesh. Let me just kind of say something in a very straightforward way here. Jesus really came in flesh and blood. He was tempted in all ways like us, but did not sin. He was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Why? Because he was tempted in all ways, but did not sin. That makes him a worthy high priest, ready to distribute real grace and real mercy to real flesh and blood people like you and me. All through the New Testament, the apostles set the incarnation, God coming as a man, at the center of Christian theology. And now, the big picture is, if you would deviate from this clear teaching, what else is up for grabs? If you're off on the essence of Jesus, then what else is up for grabs for you? And again, step back and get the bigger picture. The false teachers, that's what they're saying. What they're doing is they're trying to create disruption. They're trying to create division. They're trying to create new alliances and allegiances. They're saying, don't listen to John. Don't listen to the apostolic message. Listen to us. Verse 4, but you, dear children, you're from God. And you've overcome them. You've overcome the false teaching. Because the one who's in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Listen carefully. They are from the world. And therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. Spiritual teaching will be embraced by spiritual people. And worldly teaching will be embraced by worldly people who are driven by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. And if you are searching for your truth more than you're searching for God's truth, you will have plenty of people to help you along the way. And if you want to dance around a golden calf, you will be able to find an Aaron who'll help you out. The world, he says, devours its own kind of message. But verse 6, but we are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. Now, that's going to sound a bit pretentious, but hang with me. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, John Stott, fabulous Christian statesman, leader, passed away a few years ago. He says, and I quote, "This would be the height of arrogance if the Apostle John were simply speaking as an individual." But he's an apostle. And he's saying, whoever follows the Lord listens to us. The apostles were entrusted with special authority to do what? To lay the foundation of the church through their witness and through their teaching. What did the early church devote themselves to? Prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread, and remember the fourth thing? The apostles' teaching. We have the apostles' teaching recorded for us in the New Testament, and it is the standard by which we evaluate Christian teaching. You should evaluate me by the standard of the New Testament. Without a standard, everything's up for grabs. And my friends, you have worldview convictions. You will either have worldview convictions on the teachings of Scripture, or you will have worldview convictions just based on your own viewpoints, you know, putting together maybe some politics, my tribal group, this is my posse, these are the people I listen to, cobbling together maybe a little Christianese. Or you will approach the Bible not as just helpful advice as a consultant, but as as God's word. And I'll put that question on the screen for you. Is the Bible God's word to you, or is it helpful advice? Dallas Willard, who taught at the University of Southern California for years, he taught philosophy, and a lot of people knew that he was a strong Christian and a Christian writer. And people would ask him, "Do you really believe the Bible?" "Yes." "Are you serious about following Jesus?" And he would often say, his classic response was, "Who else would you recommend I follow?" One of the greatest gifts you have is your Holy Bible, the sacred scriptures, the voice of God. You know, Jesus taught us that one of Satan's primary strategies is what? Lying. Spiritual warfare is basically a warfare of ideas. Eve was first tempted in the garden through an idea, through a suggestion. "Hey, eat this, you'll be like God." And I know he said there'd be consequences. There'd be no consequences. That's why Jesus taught, memorized, upheld, exalted, lived by, and underscored the scriptures. He says, "You do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay, so there's this little section out of 1 John 4, 1 through 6. The main point being, don't be gullible. Pay attention, test what you hear, and you're perfectly capable of doing that. You've been around the Word of God. You've grown up around it. A little flashing light is going to go off if there's something that you need to evaluate. Greater is the Holy Spirit that's in you than he that is in the world. You've been exposed to apostolic teaching. You value that. You listen to it. You're rooted into it. So there you go. Discernment is vital because deception is out there, and you're perfectly equipped to do that. Now, before I close, I want to highlight four lies. We could highlight a lot. I'm going to highlight four lies that you are hearing regularly. And let's just put them right out here on stage and address them. And here's lie number one. Your net worth, that's your real worth. And that's not true. Some of you in this room, you are high net worth people. And that's a beautiful thing. Use it well. Some of you may not be such a high net worth person. That's okay. Your worth is determined, first of all, that you're created in the very image of God. There you go. And your worth and your value is enhanced if you're a believer because you are a child of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, whatever my net worth is, there's coming a day when my net worth will not matter one bit. That matters a little bit now. There's coming a day it will not matter at all. But my friends, we have a treasure, a real treasure, that is not susceptible to any destructive force in this world. That's our relationship with our great and living God. Here's a second message you're going to hear regularly. You ready? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your feelings, follow your heart. Shane Pruitt, one of his writings, says this: can you imagine that our culture tells us regularly that the ultimate determining factor in making important decisions is this: it's what's your heart telling you to do? Now, it's important that we pay attention to our instincts, to our heart, our emotions, our feelings. Not saying you just pretend they're not there, that you discard them, but you don't put them in the driver's seat. He says, how horrifically dangerous is it to just follow your heart on important matters? Because your heart can change, your feelings can change, your emotions can fluctuate. They can change with one phone call. They can change with one word of criticism at the wrong time. They can change when you're stuck in a traffic jam. And if we follow, just truly just follow our feelings, we'll be all over the map. So one lie is just follow your heart. The advice that I would share with you is to follow the Lord. Many of you, when you were younger, you memorized this passage out of Proverbs chapter 3. Remember it? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Here's a third lie you're going to hear regularly. You ready? Here it is. Historic Christianity is just obsolete. Historic Christianity is just obsolete. You hear it all the time. Oh, fewer and fewer people are going to church. Bible-based Christianity is just not going to make it much longer. It's just obsolete, it's outdated, outmoded. There you go. That's false. It's not true. Right now, China is the global center of atheism. But sociologists expect that by 2030, there will be more Christians in China than there are right now in America. And that by 2060, China could be a majority Christian country. What's more, by that time, 40% of the world's Christians are expected to be living in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, in the West, sort of where we are, religious identification has certainly declined, and it may decline some more. But listen carefully. But the rest of the world is not following suit. Christianity is still the world's largest religion. It's the most multiracial, multiethnic, multicultural movement in history. In the next 40 years, Christianity is set to remain the world's largest belief system, claiming 32% of the global population. Meanwhile, that portion of humanity that does not identify with any particular religion, including the quote-unquote nones, N-O-N-E-S, they're set to decline from 16% to 13%. And contrary to the message that Christianity, you know, apostolic, orthodox, Bible-based Christianity is on its way out, contrary to the message that, oh, religion poisons everything, New York Times op-ed entitled "Evangelicals Without the Blowhards," written by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicholas Kristof. He says this, and I quote, "Go to the front lines, at home or abroad, in the battles against hunger, malaria, rape, human trafficking, genocide, and some of the bravest people you will ever meet are evangelical Christians who truly live their faith." Did you know that weekly church attenders right here in America donate 3.5 times more money to charity than people who do not go to church? They volunteer twice as much. They are half as likely to engage in domestic violence, and they're less likely to commit at least 43 other crimes. Look, I'm not saying people who go to church walk on water. 1 John has said, if we claim we have no sin, we do not, you know, we make God out to be a liar. We have regular things to confess and grow in. But you do walk in the light, and you do make a difference. Rebecca McLaughlin, who is a fabulous writer, she has a PhD from Cambridge University as well as a theology degree. She wrote a book a couple of years ago called Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion. And she says, and I quote, "We've been told that Christianity is declining. It is not. We've assumed Christianity cannot stand up in the academic world. It can. Too many of us think that Christianity is threatened by diversity. It's never been threatened by diversity. It's the most multinational, multi-ethnic belief system ever. Some of you have been told that the Christian ethic is just not sustainable in our world today. That's not true. And we have conceded way too much ground to secularism." And she says, we've got to be faithful in this cultural moment, neither defensive and apologetic, but not aggressive either. It's time to go on the gentle offensive. Give reasons for your faith and believe that there may be someone else who holds to a different belief system than you. She says, what should you do? Be willing to engage. Be willing to have a discussion. Well, they're of another faith, or they have no faith at all. Well, let's get back to Christians going on the offensive with the gospel and seeking to win people to Christ. And give that person, she said, give that person the respect they deserve. And what that means is you look at that person and believe that person is an individual, a personal, rational agent who can make up their own mind, and they're not just a product of their culture. And if you will engage, not just argue, but if you will engage and respect and seek to be persuasive for the cause of Christ and not timid, that's what's needed in this day and age. Historic Christianity, oh, it's just fate. It'll fade. That is just not true. And even if it is true in your part of the world, the Spirit of God is alive and well, can do great things in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Very quickly, one more. And here's a lie some of you are going to hear. You ready? Here it is. You're all alone. You're all alone. Some of you feel that when you're walking in the shoes of Elijah. You look around you and you think, hey, do any of my friends believe anymore? Anybody in my neighborhood believe anymore? I think I'm the only one who cares. Remember Elijah? Lord, I think I'm the only one in Israel who's not bowed his knee to Baal. Just go ahead and take my life. I'm the only one who cares. And the Lord opened his eyes and reminded him, that's just not true, Elijah. There are 7,000 others out there who've not bowed their knee to Baal. You be encouraged by that. You be that creative minority making a difference. Some of you feel alone because sort of physically you are, and fellowship-wise you are. That maybe during this pandemic, it's been easy to pull away, easy to be isolated. And for those of you watching online, let me just remind you of something you saw earlier. Men, I want to challenge you. This week, you've got a great opportunity to connect with some other men by way of Zoom. It's a 6 a.m. study. It is. By the way, I was in a 6 a.m. Zoom study a few months ago, and there was a couple in there. They had signed up for it. They were jazzed. They were ready to go. And the day before, Missy Edgman sent out an email reminding us they thought they had signed up for a 6 p.m. Wednesday Zoom study. But, you know, they were there, 6 a.m. You're never so alone as when you try to deal with your own sin alone. You're never so alone as when you try to deal with your own struggles alone. You're never so alone when you try to walk through a valley on. We are wired to be together in some way. We're just not designed for solo flying. And some of you, you're going to hear the lie, you're all alone. You know, Joel alluded to it earlier. You're going through a really difficult time. And had it been your call, you would say, God, why didn't you just take me around the storm instead of taking me right through it? May I remind you, on your best days, God is with you. On your worst days, God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He cares for you, and you will not walk through that valley alone. Your net worth, that's your real worth. Not true. Historic, apostolic, Orthodox Christianity, that's on its way out. Not true. Not true. Just follow your heart. Let it have a seat at the table. But trust in the Lord. Follow His word. And, oh, you're all alone. No, you're not. The Lord is with you. And the church wants to encourage you. And the Holy Spirit is within you. And so here's John's message. Don't be naive to the reality of wolves in sheep's clothing. Discernment is that ability to think biblically. And in a world of deception, it's a vital skill. Dee, would you be making your way up here, please? Dee Atterbury is going to be leading us in prayer in just a moment. But my friends, let me ask you in the room, let me ask those of you watching online, what's your next step, your next move to make? Has the Holy Spirit pointed a finger today and said, you know, here's an area that needs a wake-up call. Here's an area that needs a point of revival and resuscitation. I know every time I read the Word of God, you know, often it's like, okay, here's something that maybe I need to be paying closer attention to. And whenever we gather as a body, the Holy Spirit's doing His work within us. The Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord give you His peace. And to those of you who may not yet be a Christian, know that we stand ready and eager to help. Help you learn. Help you take those first steps of faith. Baptize you in Christ. And then to nurture you along your spiritual journey.